It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so here we are live for this third day of the new broadcast schedule at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, and that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Pop on by, pick out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one, and expect to be greeted by the early arrivers. The early arrivers in this case being Jimmy and Squeaky. And Faith Ann was just in the room. She wasn't. No, that was a while back. That was last night. Hi, Faith Ann. Sorry, I'm a little behind the times there. It is the 11th day of December, 2019, and we are live at 5.05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That'd be 2.05 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yes, these are time checks, and I try to get away from them. But in this case, I want to make sure that everybody understands through the course of this week. I'll beat on it a little bit less as folks get used to it. But yeah, we've moved the program back by an hour. Okay, back by an hour, and so that means we're on the air at 5 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. And hey, look, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, glory, hallelujah, amen, and amen. We had a magnificent feast in the fellowship hall this evening. The little old blue-haired ladies absolutely outdid themselves. Oh yes, oh yes. You know they've been in holiday mode, and consequently, the deacons have been doing very well for themselves. I have to tell you, come the end of the holiday season, I think we're just going to have to strap them to a treadmill and let them walk it off, or else they won't be worth a damn doing their deacon stuff. Yeah. But the little old blue-haired ladies did up a whole bunch of hamburger steaks this evening. You know how it is, country cooking. Great big humongous hamburger patties, skillet fried and smothered in brown gravy with mushrooms and onions and green peppers and mashed potatoes along the side. You know, sometimes I think they've got it in for the deacons with all the carbs and the fat. But The deacons know how to say no, but seldom do they do that. But mashed potatoes and gravy and the hamburger steak, and there was some succotash, you know, some green beans and corn and onions and little hunks of potato. The little old blue-haired ladies were not messing around. They had fresh hot dinner rolls to go with it all. They had some coleslaw there in front. And they outdid themselves. They worked up several pans of that wonderful, wonderful Southern church treat, Mississippi mud cake. Oh, it was a chocolate bonanza. and the deacons, high out of their minds on starch and carbohydrate, went wild. And then, of course, they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs from the basement where the fellowship hall and the fellowship hall kitchen are. And they went out, and unlike me, they went out to the parking lot and set to smoking with the sinners. Oh, yes, they did. And knowing that they had 3 hours in front of them and that they didn't have the moral courage and the willpower that I have, I think they went through about a half a pack each, just lighting them one off the other and looking over at the sinners and saying, "Hey, buddy, you got a light?" But sooner rather than later, Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door. In her hand was the much-vaunted solar-powered Cathedral of Common Sense cattle prod. And upon seeing it, and upon hearing it crackle, you know, when it's not humid enough, Sister Carol will just flick. She's got one of those spray bottles and just... and sprays a little water on the cattle prod, and it puts the fear of Almighty God right into the deacons. And so all of a sudden they found the ability to move, and they weren't surly, and they weren't insouciant, and they got moving. And they waddled right past Sister Carol, and they waddled right through the vestibule, right past that bowl of desiccating butter mints, and brethren and sistren, they got right down front. And they thought they was going to have to work. And I said, "Sit down, boys. Because we had to have a week on me. So that means you fellas can just sit down there and go right to sleep at your own peril. I'll wake you up with the flit gun if you do. But the deacons don't have to move amongst you with the heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates and the PayPal button in the bottom. They don't have to do that, brethren and sistren. At least until next week." So, brethren and sistren, absent the offertory hymn and absent the altar call, well, brethren and sistren, we're just going to get right busy because we've had a right busy day. Oh, yes, we have. And it all sort of wraps in together. It does. The stuff on Capitol Hill, the impeachment, and the white wing religion industry. Because the one feeds off the other. Always has. I guess it always will. Religion in service to the state. So I thought maybe the first place we might go this evening for our prayer meeting Wednesday would be to toddle out and check in on some of the holiday displays. Yes. It was some time back, a couple of weeks at least, when somebody said, it may have been in the last week. I forget who was it. Said who was to ask it? Why not impeach Trump for what he's done to the little children? And we sort of talked about that a little bit. But there are Christian outfits out there who have decided to ask their own sorts of questions. And so we check in with Claremont United Methodist Church. And the senior minister at Claremont United Methodist Church is... Sister Karen Clark Ristine. And they put up their holiday nativity scene. you know, usually it's the, you know, it's the little barn, little manger, little baby Jesus laying in the straw. God, you ever wonder what kind of bugs were in the straw? Yeah, they don't go into that. But anyway, and then there's Mary and there's Joseph, and pretty soon the three wise guys come along, and some shepherds wander by, and the next thing you know, there's a couple of angels, and there's goats and cattle and donkeys and chickens, and no pigs, because those poor people weren't allowed to have barbecue, pulled pork barbecue. Bless their hearts. Well, Sister Karen Clark Christine took that basic story, and she decided to put a decidedly 21st century spin on it. So instead of having everybody gathered under one little barn roof, no. The Claremont United Methodist Church's nativity scene features Mary in a cage and Joseph in his own separate cage and little baby Jebus in his own separate cage. And then Senior Minister Karen Clark Christine put it up on Facebook because she wanted everybody to know about Claremont United Methodist Church's nativity scene. Over on the Facebook, she wrote, "The theological statement posted with the nativity, in a time in our country when refugee families seek asylum at our borders, and are unwillingly separated from one another, we consider the most well-known refugee family in the world, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family. Shortly after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary were forced to flee with their young son from Nazareth to Egypt to escape King Herod, a tyrant. They feared persecution and death. Imagine Joseph and Mary separated at the border and Jesus, no older than two, taken from his mother and placed behind the fences of a Border Patrol detention center, as more than 5,500 children have been in the past 3 years. Jesus grew up to teach us kindness and mercy and radical welcome of all people." She particularly cited Matthew 25:35. And that's where he says, talking about how we're supposed to treat each other. If you and you know, you don't have to be a Christian to buy it, and you don't even have to believe that Jesus was real. I'm kind of an agnostic on that myself. You know me. But the idea is sound. Be decent to people who need your help. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit the imprisoned, heal the sick. And he said, "If you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me." And the minister went on and said, "In the Claremont United Methodist Church nativity scene this Christmas..." And it is a shot. I've seen pictures. It's shocking. I mean, it's not shocking, but it's shocking. There's poor Mary in her blue and white dress. There's poor Joseph in his cage and his headgear. And they're both looking toward the central cage that has the little newborn in it. And she said, "In the Claremont United Methodist Church Nativity scene this Christmas, the Holy Family takes the place of the thousands of nameless families separated at our border." So far, so good, right? I mean, she's doing the work of what we would like to hope Christianity is. And there, and apparently that church is taking its tax-free status seriously and walking the walk and talking the talk. They've worked with asylum seekers. They raised $10,000 for Justice for Our Neighbors. And that supports free legal counsel for children who have been put in our concentration camps and kept in cages. But then the maggots found the post. And of course, the maggots are the bestestest Christians in the world. Right? The very bestestest. Because they know exactly what Jeebus would have done. Because Jeebus would have been a maggot just like them. You understand? Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it got ugly real damn fast. Oh, and hey, I forgot something. I got ahead of myself. I forgot the thank yous. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. So thanks go out to our subscribers for the 11th day of the month. That's John and Tony and Chico and Paul from Parts Unknown and Mary Bell and Chris. You hear Chris from time to time, as often as he can make it, on Friday on the front porch. So thank you, one and all. And hey, thanks to Tracy for kicking in last night, even though we're not fundraising this week. It is much appreciated. And just a quick reminder, we will be fundraising through, gone are the days of fundraising free week, the fundraising free week at the end of the month. We're 15 days, or we are 4 days from the end of open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. And I've narrowed my choices down to a couple of really, really genuinely crappy plans that put me in situations that I don't want to be in, but I got to have something. So, yeah, I'll be purchasing health insurance at an exorbitant rate and which will pay for next to nothing. But it will pay in the case of hopefully disasters that don't come. So that's where that is. And we'll get back to fundraising next week. But this week, thanks to our anonymous friend who has made a Have a Week on Me contribution, this is nice. This is very nice. And so thanks to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly. And now, back to the rest of the story. Because like I said, this thought-provoking, touching nativity scene that is a reflection of a brutal reality, well, it didn't sit well with the maggots now, did it? No, it didn't. One asshole. And let's just deal with them for what they are, assholes. Some dude named Victor Hamby said, imagine taking money you could have spent helping the indigent and spending it on barbed wire and cages to virtue signal. I hate it when maggots learn pop culture jargon. They're just virtue signaling. They're not actually out there. Oh, wait a minute. They done give $10,000 to help. Oh, shitsy. Then there was Jared Stanley. Jared Stanley said, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were not refugees. Bethlehem was their hometown. That is a despicable nativity. Yeah, Jared's not the sharpest spoon in the drawer. If you believe the mythology of it all, well, Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus, little Yeshua, brown-skinned, Palestinian, not yet a day laborer, and certainly not yet semi-literate. They lived in Galilee, in a little shithole town called Nazareth. Bethlehem was not their hometown. Hell, the book even says that they went to Bethlehem, which was the city of David, because, and that's all just set up. That's setting up the Jesus story to show that he's a direct descendant of King Dave, so that they can make the argument that he was the real deal. Most of the children of Israel back then didn't fall for it, and well, unfortunately, the Greeks and the Romans were always up for a new deity. Yeah, that's my metal straw rattling around in my water bottle. Oh yeah. And of course, the maggots ye have always with ye. And maggots, well, maggots gonna MAGA, I guess. Sure, why not? Now let's come a running back up here into ye olde 21st. Century. Let's check in with a real live honest to Jesus. See what I did there? Man of God. No, instead, let's check in with Robert Jeffress, who is a whited sepulcher. At least that's how Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, described folks like him. You know, shiny and pretty and clean and white on the outside and full of putrefaction and corruption and death on the inside. That's old Robert Jeffress to a T. I remember when our now passed on to the great beyond friend Edward would call in and talk some about Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Edward didn't think too highly of Pastor Jeffress. Now, generally speaking, you like your preachers to be out there doing that Matthew 25 stuff, going and visiting folks in the hospital. You know, I remember the damnedest things that stay in your mind. I remember being a little kid, and my grandmother was in the hospital down in Florence. And there was a guy who was just starting his TV career. And I think his last name was Stanley. And he was out of Atlanta, but he was actually visiting people in the hospital. And he had the good fortune or the misfortune of wandering into my grandmother's hospital room, where she set to the business of engaging him in some theology. And they talked for hours. I don't think much of TV preachers, generally speaking, but I have to at least give that man props, because he stayed for a long time, and they got down and they talked about some finer points, you know, some of that angels dancing on the head of a pin shit. And he seemed to really enjoy his time with her. Well, that's what you want your preachers to be doing. You want them visiting the sick. You want them po- putting clothes on the naked and putting roofs over the heads of the homeless. Because of all the things that Yeshua told his followers to do, that was right up there at the very top of the list. Can you imagine Jerry Falwell Jr. doing even a 1,000th of the work that Jimmy Carter has done to put roofs over the head of people without homes? If you believe that stuff, then it almost goes without saying that when, and I hope it's no time soon, but when James Earl Carter, that is his name, isn't it? Shows up at the Pearlies, they're going to holler, St. Pete's going to holler, "Hey, JC, Jimmy's here." JC's going to go, "No shit. How cool. Man, he lived what I talked about. Hey, Dad, Jimmy's here." "What?" "Yeah, Jimmy's here."
"Bring him in."
And, you know, eternity's a second, and a second's eternity in that realm. And then eventually, Jerry Falwell Jr. will show up, and St. Pete's going to, "Hey, boss, Jerry Falwell Jr.'s here, and he's looking for his dad." And Yeshua's going to say, "Shit.
Hey, Dad, who's going to tell him?" "Don't tell him anything. Just pinch his little soul out of his little body and flick it like a booger down into hell right there next to his daddy's."
And after we get to this clip, which I'm taking a damn long time getting to, you got to figure the same. It's going to be something similar. It has to be something similar with Robert Jeffress. I mean, this is some sickening shit. I don't participate in anybody's religion, so that leaves me open to take pot shots at will at everybody's religion. And you know what? If you don't like it, stuff it, because you're the one that believes in the all-powerful sky spook, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. And I don't. So too bad. You have the absolute right to believe whatever you want to believe, but I have an absolute right to laugh in your fucking face. Or at least laugh quietly on the radio. But for a long time, I've said that that non-Christians can't fix Christianity. Only Christians can fix Christianity. And see, people like Robert Jeffress don't have any problem saying who is and isn't a Christian. But all the good Christians out there, well, they're not so crazy about the idea of saying that maybe Robert Jeffress is a secret servant of Satan. And that's why I bring up this particular story. Oh, very well done, Brother Deacon Asa, in regard to just pinch his soul out of his body and flick it into hell like a booger. Brother Deacon Asa says, proving once and for all, not all that is Falwell ends well. Ah! Anyway, instead of out visiting the sick or housing the homeless or visiting the imprisoned people or, visiting children who are in cages in our concentration camps, Robert Jeffress decided to go over to Fox Business Channel. Is it Fox Business that has? No. Yeah, it's Fox Business and Lou Dobbs. God, I'm so old, I can remember when Lou Dobbs was just a dickhead at CNN. Going full 200-proof asshole pays good. But I've told you in the past, and some of you who aren't terribly familiar with full-on evangelical Christianity, it may kind of doubt me. I don't know. But I've told you that your Southern Baptists think that your Roman Catholics aren't really Christians. They're Mary worshipers, mackerel snappers. And they pray to saints and shit. When everybody knows you pray to Jesus. This is a holdover from the bloodletting of the Protestant Reformation, which happened because of the bloodletting that the Roman Catholic Church got into. Well, never mind. It's too complicated. We're not going to go there this evening. So, Bob Jeffress went on Lou Dobbs to explain how that there Nancy Pelosi ain't much of a Christian. Not at all.
And joining us tonight, Pastor Robert Jeffress, member of the White House Faith Initiative, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Fox Business contributor. Pastor, great to see you. And
thank you, Luke.
And let's start with your time.
Hey, timeout. Timeout. Why the fuck is a preacher a contributor to a business show? Well, because religion is big business. We don't call it the religion industry for nothing, now do we? He's going to be all chuckling and southern and yeah.
With the president today, tell us a little about that.
Lou, I've never seen the president more upbeat or positive or focused than he was today. And look, this impeachment farce, it isn't paralyzing the president, it is energizing him. And what he was focused on talking about this afternoon was record unemployment, record stock market, record...
You reckon Bob Jeffress has to spit out the pubes when they take the camera off of him? I'm just asking.
Regulations being pulled back and record number of judicial appointments. This is what the American people
are they orange? Does he floss with them? Again, just asking.
Care about. And that's why I believe, Lou, that the longer the Democrats want to drag out this impeachment farce, the larger his margin of reelection is going to be in 2020. The American people are with this president.
You know, it's interesting, the drag it out part. Because on the one hand, he says that, and yet there's another gang of right-wing punks who said, and Jim sent this along via email earlier today, and it was described as disgusting. Disgusting. Let's see if I can find it. Where'd it go? But it was some right wing POS. Ah, there it is. Democrat makes disgusting promise if Trump is reelected. What a low life, according to that website that rhymes with light and fart. Congressional Black Caucus Chair Representative Karen Bass really recently told TMZ that she would support another impeachment attempt against President Trump if he's reelected in 2020. As many know, many what? Many maggots? An impeachment inquiry warrants some wrongdoing.
However, Bass suggested she would push for Trump's impeachment no matter what, using any new charges that the Democrats can cook up. This is a brilliant, brilliant exemplar of maggot cerebral power. She would push for Trump's impeachment no matter what, using any new charges the Democrats can cook up. Well, new charges have to be based on what? Evidence. So it's not going to be cooked up. It's going to be shit that he did. And that's an interesting topic for our contemplation, because we got two counts here, but we could, it's kind of like deer season down south. You know, in West Virginia, we can only get one buck and one doe during buck season and doe season, respectively. Now, if you pay extra for the stamps, you can get one more doe and one more buck. And you can get a buck and a doe during muzzleloader season. You go down south, well, down there, they're heathens. They run dogs on deer. And like in Alabama, from the Monday before Thanksgiving till January 31st, you can shoot a deer a day as long as you go buck, doe, but, you know, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. It's kind of like that with impeaching Trump. Because the courts are not going to stop ruling on his obstruction of these subpoenae just because it's an election year. That shit only counts when the guy in the White House is trying to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and the guy in the White House is, you know, only 3/5 of a president, according to the Senate Majority Leader, who comes from, again, Alabama, with not a banjo, but a Klan robe on his knee. So ain't nothing going to be cooked up. And there's plenty of stuff to impeach him over. Again, we haven't touched, the Congress hasn't touched what he's done to thousands of little children in putting them in concentration camps, and, you know, some of them even dying. Or the fact that, as noted, you've got people at the border taking life-saving albuterol rescue inhalers away from asthmatic children. Don't worry. I'm sure those Border Patrol agents who took those life-saving rescue inhalers away from the children with asthma, I'm sure those Border Patrol agents were, you know, Christians. Of course they were. Absolutely. But back to the topic at hand, Bob Jeffers says it's going to make Donald Trump stronger and stronger. He's like a gremlin getting fed and given water after midnight. And yet, over on the other side, you got people flipping out because they think that it's going to go longer. Which is it, you freaks? Pick.
And I couldn't agree with you more. Let's Nancy Pelosi. She has made the mistake of her political life, and it is one that I believe, as you're suggesting, the Democratic Party will pay for and pay for it dearly. This is nervous Nancy Pelosi in full meltdown. Here she is.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
Funny, that doesn't sound like a meltdown. That doesn't sound like a, say, president of the United States saying, I'm not a puppet, you're the puppet, no puppet. Dude melts down like the Wicked Witch of the West with water thrown on her every goddamn day. And he does it on Twitter so everybody can see. She, on the other hand, took down a shit eater from Sinclair Media and put him in his place.
And they ran the clip. We ran it before.
As a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time.
So, yeah, but see, she's praying them Catholic prayers, and God don't hear them. Because your Catholics ain't really Christians. Only people like Robert Jeffress and Jerry Falwell Jr. is Christians. See? Yeah.
Don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Wow. Pastor, your thoughts?
You know, I find it interesting that she is so indignant about it being accused of hatred, saying that it goes against her Catholic faith. Well, what about her belief in unrestricted abortion? That certainly goes against her faith, and she...
Shut the fuck up. Do you ever wish, and see, this is again one of those situations where it'll never happen, but we can at least wish or fantasize about it happening, that somebody with enough nerve would someday be paired with that freak. And when he goes off on the, oh, she can't be a Catholic. I mean, I'm a Baptist. I can declare, I get to declare, I'm like the Pope, because I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, and I can say who's really Catholic and who ain't Catholic. And I'm going to talk about the precious little fetuses. She can't be no Catholic. She can't be no Catholic. She does not support unrestricted abortion. Unrestricted abortion is not legal in the United States, and it is certainly not within the purview of Roe v. Wade. And one is not necessarily a supporter of abortion simply if one says, hey, not my choice to make. I mean, even Christianity teaches that we choose because, you know, created with choice, freedom of choice, you know, free will. We choose whether we're going to go to heaven or go to hell. And I don't understand the great... they got this thing in being a Southern Baptist called once saved, always saved. So that means you can just shit all over everybody once you've been baptized and you're all good with Jesus. You don't even have to show up for a confession. I guess that's how Robert Jeffress can cash that tasty, tasty, tasty Fox Business Channel check. And how he can ignore the torment of little children in concentration camps, separated from their parents and put in cages. It's all our, you know, we all have a life to live and we all have choices to make. Robert Jeffress has chosen to worship Mammon instead of the God he proposes to support. Question coming in from Brother Deacon Asa, would it be acceptable to Pastor Jeffress if Mrs. Pelosi was in favor of aborting gay fetuses? Oh, he'd be all about that. That'd probably qualify her as an honorary Baptist if she just quit praying Mary and shit. Unrestricted abortion. Oh, and by the way, there's a confession in there. He's confessing that the abortion debate and the desire to rule over women is entirely religiously based. That means he's admitting that opposition to a woman's right to choose is grounded in religion, which is an admission in turn that he wants to force the rest of the country to adopt his religious beliefs, which in turn is what? Yes, absolutely shredding the First Amendment. That's one of those things that I've thought about for a long time, talked about for a long time, and I wish we could get it out into the sort of public zeitgeist a little bit more.
and understanding that the opposition to abortion is an attempt to subvert the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States by compelling the government to adopt the theology and dogma of a particular religion. Maybe it makes people nervous. I don't know. Anyway, back to Bob Jeffress, who's an asshole.
She doesn't apologize for that. She celebrates her belief in the murder of the unborn. I mean, her and Joe Biden was forbidden to have communion by his own church because he's out of step with his church. And certainly Nancy Pelosi is out of step with the teaching of the Catholic Church. I just find this religion of hers kind of strange and certainly hypocritical in places.
Yeah, and in that moment we find out that the atheists are perfectly safe from any threat of ever burning in the hot place because the great big bearded juvenile delinquent didn't once again missed out on a grand opportunity to send down a lightning bolt and turn Robert Jeffress into a goddamn little greasy spot for the hypocrite that he is. I mean, there is that whole business about judge not that ye be not judged in that book that he says is the literal and inerrant word of God. He's just judging all over the place, isn't he? Maybe he wants one of them dresses like the Pope wears with the House of Whoville hat and the pointy shoes, the pointy purple shoes.
Well, the president's saying that she has a bit of a credibility problem when she says she prays for him. Yeah. The president doesn't believe her. What do you think?
Well, we talked about that, and I'm not going to get into the conversation. But what I did say to the president was, I said, President Trump, there are millions and millions of Christians who are truly praying for you and believe in you because you are the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel president in history. And you can be sure that when somebody takes those positions, they are on God's side.
I guess he missed that whole thing that Abraham Lincoln talked about one time during the Civil War. Somebody asked Abraham Lincoln, Mr. President, do you think God is on the Union's side? Lincoln thought about it for a minute and looked up and said, you know, I'm a lot less worried about whether God's on the Union side as whether the Union is on God's. Of course, Lincoln wasn't a Christian. He was a throwback. He was sort of a deist the way the founders were, the framers. As a boy, learning to read, you know, by candlelight and firelight. I mean, candlelight is firelight. I'm talking about a different, yeah, maybe the fireplace instead of a candle. He read the Declaration of Independence, and he read the Constitution, and he took them seriously. He read whatever literature he could get his hand on. And the neat thing is, because he lived so far out on the frontier, his mind was never poisoned by divines. His mind was never poisoned by the likes of Robert Jeffress, who it would be fun to sit on a panel next to him and just, you know, fuck the FCC, fuck it all. Just look at Robert, let him prattle on along for a while and just look at him and say, oh, shut the fuck up. You whited sepulcher, you. And then just tie into him. But they never book it that way because he's far enough up the feeding chain that he never has to hear anybody speak truth to his power.
Well, we've got just a few seconds, but I've just got to ask you, Pope Francis getting involved in basically comparing President Trump to King Herod. This is pretty nasty stuff.
Well, look, look, King Herod is the one who tried to murdered thousands of children trying to get rid of Jesus. President Trump is one who has protected the lives of children in the womb, the most pro-life president in history.
Yeah, he's just not so goddamn good at protecting children in cages. You got to remember, they've lost a bunch of them. I mean, some have died, but some they just can't fucking find. Yeah, oopsie. Oh, ye servants of iniquity, ye generation of vipers. Now, Jim says, as long as a religious belief adherent does not attack you, then don't attack them. Fair enough. Respect one another without rancor. Okay, works for me. That's the problem, Jim. They quit that a long time ago. The religious maniacs in this country want a theocracy. And they have to be opposed, and they have to be strenuously opposed. And mockery is a strong tool in that in opposing them. Left to their own devices, whatever it is you believe, Jim, you'd have to believe the way they want. Robert Jeffress doesn't like Catholics, he doesn't like Presbyterians, he doesn't like Episcopalians, if any of them believe differently from him. And there's nothing in the First Amendment that says that that people practicing their freedom of religion, well, they have freedom of religion free of being persecuted by the state. But it does not confer upon them special snowflake status as to everybody else. Ecumenicalism is generally a good idea. But that's something that the Southern Baptists and most of these evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals don't believe in. And, of course, Christianity doesn't want to clean up its own house. Because the good Christians don't want to tell the world that Robert Jeffress isn't a Christian. While Robert Jeffress stands in the pulpit and declares who is and who isn't. Hard to win a fight that you won't, hard to win a battle that you won't fight, you know? Ron and Raleigh with a note, I must assume that if this is what the American people want, then I must not be included in that group. If this is the case, then what am I and the others that think the shit that King Comb over the First has and is doing is a bunch of shit? Well, you're just, Ron, you're a heathen, you're an apostate, and if they ever get to the theocracy that they so eagerly yearn for, well, we're all going to swing if they don't just headlop instead. They like the headlop, and they're fond of the headlopping. Yeah. And we're closer than we think. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. A reminder from Kyle. The Methodist Church also told Jeff Sessions to fuck off for the child separation policy, kidnapping children from parents, and they actually acknowledged the existence and full dignity of LGBTQ people. So in the church world, they're pretty progressive. And Kyle goes on to remind us, don't you be talking about Jimmy Carter dying. It's all I can handle to check to see if RBG's still alive every day with the health issue she's been dealing with. And it says, those leaders of that non-profit right-wing propaganda cult sure do know how to stay on message, don't they? Puke. as to Robert Jeffress talking about the murder of the unborn. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, how can someone be murdered if they're unborn, not alive? Yeah, I should have sent out the warning. Sorry, Kyle. Kyle says, wait a minute. Trump is protecting the lives of children? I should have grabbed my hockey puck. I hope I didn't scare my neighbors with the howling. Note coming in from Lady B. Listening to Nicole Wallace, because why not? And she just told her guests, you're making my brain ache. And I thought, that's probably not that hard to do, since this is the most thinking you've ever done since leaving the Bush White House. Oh, that's a sick burn. But whatever. Anyway, I was listening to her guests, and all of them kept saying he is a threat to our national security. Talking about Trump. I suppose that's the new buzzword now, but whatever it takes. But he's always been a threat to our national security. We have a ton of ways of preventing people who are threats to our businesses from getting jobs. I mean, in call centers, you have to pass a background check, for God's sakes, a credit check, and a piss test. And we in no way handle the things that the president and his staff do, yet here we are. So I guess the Democrats are going to push the threat to national security angle. The spokespeople for the Democrats will repeat that line ad nauseum, and if it works, Trump's ass is out the door. But we need to make it sound even more American. Trump needs to be a threat to our freedom. He secretly shits and wipes with the flag. He hates apple pie. He once ate a bald eagle on a college dare. He went to a party attended by Colin Kaepernick's parents, and Colin appeared at the door to drop off the spare car keys. Oh, Jesus. God, I'm so cynical, Lady B says. Anything that gets Trump out of office is good. But Trump's ties to Russia and the evil shit they did to Ukraine should have been an immediate sign this ginger was doing more than just holding that ounce for a friend. No, man, it's not mine. I'm just holding it for a friend. The FBI and the rest of the intelligence community do come off looking like Boo Boo the Fool in this. Maybe they're willing to look foolish, but the trust level, man. How will the IC regain America's trust? I got some clues. We're going to capture 10 Al-Qaeda leaders all strapped up and locked and loaded to kill Americans, even though none of us saw this, and all we got is the military's words and pictures. We also need to prevent another 9/11 by preventing a plane full of innocent civilians coming back from the Middle East from ever celebrating Ramadan again. That'll convince rural America. It's going to take a lot of gaslighting, but the media will do most of the heavy lifting. Who cares if some of the plane victims were citizens? If you ain't American, well, goddammit, you just ain't American, that's all. Yeah, I'm that cynical. Let's hope we aren't living in that timeline. But we may never know. Now, may we? Thanks, Lady B. Thanks. Yeah, and that... I've got an update. Remember I was talking last night about how precious I wank my daddy Trump? Turns out she had a pen pal thing going on with Christopher Steele. Well, now there's further information that part of the reason she was dangling business in front of, not her business, not like that, not that vernacular thing. She was dangling business in front of Christopher Steele in hopes that he would help her find appropriate business partners in Russia and China. And it goes back to when they met years ago. Steele and Iwanka met while sitting together at an exclusive London club at a dinner with about 20 other people. The dinner had speeches from David Cameron, and that was before he became prime minister. There were lots of swells there. Ostensibly, the purpose of the dinner was to discuss philanthropic funding of political research. Jesus. How much more weird do you reckon we can handle? Now, here's some weird. Guess who's going to run for Congress in Texas? That's right. Dr. Ronnie the Candyman Jackson. The guy who looked America in the eye and said that Donald Trump is not obese. Donald Trump is in fantastic health. Yeah. He's one of at least 13 Republicans, maggots, who are running to replace U.S. Representative Mac Thornberry, who's a Republican who just said, fuck it, I can't stand it, and is not going to run in 2020. You might recall that Nitwit Nero also nominated Dr. Candyman to be the head of the VA. And then the stories came out about him getting liquored up on the job and being, well, the Candyman in the White House. He said the allegations were completely false and fabricated. Well, which is it, Candyman? They're completely false or they're completely fabricated? Otherwise, you're sort of over-denying. And it was just earlier this month that Dr. Candyman finally retired from the Navy. Even as the Inspector General of the Navy was still looking at his sketchy conduct. Must be a hell of a gerrymandered district, because some of the candidates, one of them's from Dallas, another one's from Amarillo, and there will be a Democratic challenger. And hey, you know, that's one of the things that it's like the way older kids will tell scary stories to younger kids to get them to behave. The Republicans keep saying, oh, you know, Nancy Pelosi's, you know, she's leading this impeachment charge, and the Democrats are going to pay. God damn it, the Democrats are going to pay. In hopes that the Democrats will do the stupid thing and back off. One hopes we're not really that stupid. So I saw something kind of interesting earlier today as I was watching the hearings in the Senate on the IG report. Early on, when the thing started, or not too far into the process, lo and behold, there was Precious Lindsay, who was opining about how the investigation of the Trump campaign was just like J. Edgar Hoover come back to life. And I thought, oh, damn. Lindsay and I aren't that far apart in age. J. Edgar Hoover Lindsay must have been a young little sprout yet when J. Edgar went on to his long home. And no shit. Lindsey Graham, this is another one of those moments where we know that there's no God. Lindsey Graham, in talking about the FBI and accusing the FBI of spying, which the Inspector General says clearly did not happen. Lindsey Graham name-checked Martin Luther King Jr. That's right, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Lindsey Graham name-checked him. And a lightning bolt did not fly down out of the sky and reduce Lindsey Graham to a greasy spot. Not because the Almighty didn't object to it, but because there's no Almighty there to object to it. Because if there was an Almighty there, he would object. And sadly, even though Kamala Harris sits on that committee, I guess rules of decorum prevented her from looking at Lindsey and saying, "Listen, you fucking elf. Don't ever let Dr. King's name be in your mouth again. You support Donald J. Trump day in and day out. Don't you dare ever have Dr. King's name in your mouth so long as you live." You know, because that would be incivil. Because the only people who are allowed to be incivil in the Senate are Republicans. I mean, that's just fantasy, because they're not going to talk to each other in there that way. But I found it interesting. I found it particularly interesting that that he engaged in that line of discussion about J. Edgar Hoover. And he was in high dudgeon, Lindsey was. He said that both parties should be alarmed how the FBI launched an investigation into a political campaign and told nobody inside the campaign that they were being investigated. How fucking stupid is Lindsey Graham? When does law enforcement tell the mob, "Oh, by the way, we're investigating you"? How could the FBI tell the Trump campaign when the FBI didn't know how deep or how broad or how high the Russian influence went and still doesn't? What a simper and sycophant. He said, "We can't write this off as being just about one man or one event. We've got to understand how off the rails the system got. I think Democrats and Republicans are willing to make sure this never happens again." Jesus. But it was weird that he mentioned
J. Edgar Hoover. Because, of course, J. Edgar Hoover was notorious for his willingness to use blackmail. There's a story out there, apocryphal perhaps, of John Kennedy wanting to get the hell rid of J. Edgar Hoover and calling him in to shit-can him, only to have Hoover show up with a manila envelope of pictures of JFK with a woman who was definitely not Jacqueline Bouvier Onassis. I'm sorry, not to leave out the Onassis yet. Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. At a time when he was married to her. And that Hoover said, "Don't you worry, I've got these pictures, I've got the only copies, and I'll make sure nobody sees them, Mr. President." And next thing you know, J. Edgar Hoover keeps his fucking job. Yeah. Why do you reckon Lindsey Graham made a reference to J. Edgar Hoover? Some of these things are tells. You reckon somebody named J. Edgar Hooverovich has gone a-visiting of Lindsay down at the ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode with his own little old manila envelope with some pictures that are far more salacious than anything that J. Edgar ever showed to JFK? Reckon maybe Lindsay, thanks to the Russians, has perhaps seen some photographs of a couple of big old manly men performing the Eiffel Tower on little old Lindsay. I know that's salacious, and I know it's speculative. But what else explains it? Good faith does not explain it. Because Lindsey Graham is not behaving in good faith. Only the night before, only last night, Nitwit Nero at a rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania, referred to the entirety of the FBI as scum. And yet there was Lindsey Graham, a carrying of his water this morning in the Senate Judiciary Committee. What else explains that? I mean, I'm open to the possibilities. I know the thing that the for-profit media constantly prattles is that, and in fact, Venerial Vespasian said it himself in a tweet not long back that Lindsay would be getting slammed and wouldn't survive a primary in 2020 in South Carolina had he not gotten on his knees for Tangerine Tiberius. But that seems insufficient. It is too weak an explanation. It doesn't support the great weight of what Lindsay has done. It just doesn't. And so it was another one of those moments when I was reminded
that, yes, when the Russians hacked the DNC, they hacked the RNC too. And so maybe our friends in Mother Russia have some particularly interesting photographs of Lindsey Graham, kind that would not be appreciated in Mother Russia. That virile men like Vlad Putin would not approve of. As to that meeting about philanthropic funding for political research, Brother Deacon Asa says, translation, how to funnel dirty Russian oligarch money to dig up dirt on Hillary Clinton. This was like 2007, so it might be, well, they might have been trying to dig back then to keep, they've been ready for a long time. Precious Lindsay, Brother Deacon Asa says, equals Baptist piglet. It's so obvious, Brother Deacon Asa continues. Baptist piglet is up to his throat in strapping Russian chaps. So, too, the height of Lindsay's moral high ground was when he supported Ted fucking Cruz. Oh, it never goes away. You know, and a little bit of legislative news today. The House of Representatives got together and passed a bill. It was bipartisan. Democrats voted for it, and maggots voted for it, too. The House, that has to be passed by the Senate, I think. But It was some of that sausage making you don't want to see, you know. That was what Bismarck said. There are two things in the world you don't want to see made, and that's sausage and law. Well, the House got together and they passed a bipartisan bill. The maggots got Space Force. The House bill officially authorizes the creation of Space Force as a sixth, count them, six, military branch. Hold on. Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard. Are they counting the Marines? I mean, the Marines are technically part of the Navy. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Space Force. And with no disrespect intended, is the Coast Guard actually a military branch? I mean, the ultimate high boss of the Coast Guard is Wilbur fucking Ross. Because Coast Guard is under the Department of Commerce. How's that for repulsive? But the other side of that bill was that in exchange for creating Space Force, federal workers in this bill will have paid parental leave, something intensely civilized. How about that, sports fans? One wonders what'll happen to it. You know, maybe it'll just go over and join everything else on that pile of
pile of neglected work on Moscow Mitch's desk. Well, I mentioned Kamala Harris earlier. There was a really cool Kamala Harris moment now that she's been freed up from having to run around the country running for president. She can go back to being a damned fine interrogator in the Senate. And she proved her mettle again today. Kamala Harris is kind of on, you get the sense that she's kind of on a mission. She would very much like to take down Bill Barr. Bill Barr to prosecution is just a pelt that she would like to be able to nail up to her wall. And I'd like to see her do it. So she questioned the Inspector General, Mr. Horowitz, and led him through an inquiry that, while perhaps a bit complex, is worth the time it takes to listen to it.
Senator Harris, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman, General Horowitz, thank you for conducting your thorough investigation into the origins of the Department of Justice's Russia investigation. So your report makes clear that the FBI had a legitimate reason to investigate the Trump campaign. Is that correct?
That's really a sufficient predication.
And in addition, your office found no evidence that the FBI launched a politically motivated investigation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And another key finding was that the FBI committed several errors in his applications and in their applications to surveil Carter Page.
Or maybe more than several.
And as the FBI Director Wray himself has acknowledged, your investigation found serious FBI misconduct that needs to be addressed. And Director Wray also said that the FBI fully accepts your investigation's findings. Is that correct? On the other hand, Attorney General Barr has been highly critical of your findings. During the final stages of your investigation, he even embarked on his own personal investigation by meeting with foreign leaders in foreign lands, apparently in search of evidence that contradicts the fact that Russia interfered in the 2016 United States presidential election to benefit Trump. Clearly, Barr's investigation, which was launched to do the bidding of President Trump, has two objectives. One, to undermine the integrity of our intelligence community. The goal, to cast doubt on the finding that Russia interfered in the 2016 election in order to benefit the Trump campaign. And two, to intimidate the men and women of our intelligence community by suggesting that our national security professionals will face serious consequences if they investigate wrongdoing on the part of this president or his operatives. So, General Horowitz, I appreciate your extensive work and the work that your office has devoted to this investigation. But in addition, you have the power and the duty to investigate misconduct committed by the Attorney General of the United States, who is doing the bidding of the president to undermine our intelligence community. And I trust you take that duty seriously.
I do, and I'd just like to add that under the law, under the Inspector General Act, it carves out from my authority the ability to look at misconduct by department lawyers from the line lawyer all the way to the top and the Attorney General.
But history has also shown us that the Inspector General can participate in an investigation of the Attorney General, and that, in fact, happened with General Gonzalez. Do you recall that?
That happened, and it's worth noting, that happened after the Attorney General said our office was not going to get the case, that it was going to go to the Office of Professional Responsibility, and the choice for our office was whether to join that investigation or not. But that wasn't initiated through us.
So then,
that's the important point. The law has to change, Senator. And
so are you recommending the law? If I propose legislation that would change the law, would you support that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's legislation Senator Lee has sponsored, several members mm-hmm. have co-sponsored. The House has passed this unanimously.
And you would support it?
Absolutely, 100%.
So it was recently reported that the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, asked Ukrainians to help search for dirt of the political rivals of the president. In exchange for the help, Giuliani offered to help fix criminal cases against them at DOJ. Giuliani and his associates, two of whom have been indicted and are now in federal custody, allegedly reached out to a Ukrainian energy tycoon who faced legal problems in America. In exchange for helping find dirt on the president's political rivals, Giuliani's associates reportedly connected the Ukrainian with lawyers who could get a top-level meeting at the United States Department of Justice. In essence, Giuliani's scheme was an attempt to trade get-out-of-jail-free cards for political favors. As part of Giuliani's plan, Attorney General Barr met with the Ukrainians' lawyers, who asked that the Department of Justice withdraw evidence in the tycoon's bribery prosecution. Earlier today, you said you are not investigating matters related to ongoing Ukraine issues. Does that mean that you have decided not to investigate these incidents?
No. As I think mentioned in a recent letter, and I've been in touch with fellow IGs who've been asked by members to look at those issues. We've been in communication with each other. I think as Mr. Fine, the Defense Department IG, wrote to several members of Congress, he was foregoing at the time undertaking any work while the House investigation proceeded and any matters here in the Senate. And, as I mentioned, we will look accordingly at any action that we have the jurisdiction to review, getting back to the
earlier
Section 80 discussion. Mm-hmm. No other IG has that limitation, by the way. Mm-hmm. So they can investigate their secretary, deputy secretary, administrator, whomever. I just point that out because that's important to keep in mind as we get requests. And why are we different than the State Department IG, the EPA IG,
couldn't
the other IGs?
Couldn't agree with you more. Do you agree that if true, Giuliani's scheme is alarming?
I think anything like that would be very concerning.
And Mr. Giuliani recently returned to Ukraine in search of dirt on the president's political rivals, apparently in order to cook up a dossier of his own. Yesterday, he told reporters that President Trump asked him to brief the Justice Department and Senate Republicans on what, if anything, he finds. Do you and are you concerned that the Justice Department would coordinate with the president's personal lawyer on a scheme clearly designed to benefit the president's political campaign?
I'm going to look at the evidence myself and facts. I've learned to, before taking any action, to not just rely on news reports or other allegations, but to actually spend the time to look at them. So I'd ask to take a look at that, and again, happy to come in and meet with you and talk
with
you.
Please do. I'd appreciate that. Is it appropriate for the Attorney General or anyone at the Department of Justice to take actions that are solely designed to benefit the president politically?
I think that would create questions about on various rules at the department and practices at the department.
During Attorney General Barr's last appearance before this committee, I asked him, has the president or anyone at the White House ever suggested that you open an investigation of anyone?
Mm-hmm.
After pondering the word suggest, mm-hmm. the Attorney General declined to answer. The Attorney General's non-response suggested to many that he has opened politically motivated investigations. Indeed, we know that during a call with the president of Ukraine, President Trump said that Attorney General Barr would follow up regarding the quote-unquote favor that the president demanded. Did the Attorney General or anyone at Justice follow up with the president's call?
I don't know the answer to that question. And again,
does anyone in your office know the answer to that question?
I don't believe anybody in my office would know it. And frankly, again, it gets to the question of a decision by the Attorney General whether to open an investigation or not, which in most instances, I won't foreclose it completely, but in most instances would fall squarely within the prohibition on my jurisdiction.
President Trump's phone conversation was an apparent effort to solicit foreign interference in the 2020 election. And the call involved officials at multiple agencies, including the Department of Justice, the State Department, the Office of Management and Budget, and others. Are you working with the Inspectors General of these various agencies on that issue?
As I mentioned, on, you know, allegations will come in. We'll talk with our fellow IGs.
On that specific one, are you working with other IGs?
We're not. I don't have any ongoing work at this point. Again, I'm not sure what my legal, if I'd have a statutory authority to look at actions by lawyers at the department related to misconduct.
Have you been approached by any other IGs to work with them on an investigation that related to that phone call?
I'll say we've had discussions generally. I don't know whether other IGs at this point have or do not have ongoing investigations.
You've had conversations generally about this phone call?
About generally Ukraine-related matters and discussions generally.
How about specifically about this phone call?
I don't recall, as I sit here, discussions about it. But again, I have to go.
You have to refresh your memory.
Refresh my recollection on this issue. I've obviously been spending a fair amount of time preparing to deal with the 400-plus page report that we're talking about today.
Involving Ukraine.
Okay.
The American system of justice was founded on the principle of equal justice under the law, and that principle obviously means that there cannot be one system of justice for one group of people and a different system of justice for others. And I have spent my career fighting for equal justice, and I'll tell you that everybody in a Department of Justice obviously has a duty to make sure that people get a fair shot.
Well, now maybe it's just me, but for starters, that was an almost a master class textbook examination by as performed by Senator Harris, one. But two, it was, and I watched a bunch of this today. The demeanor, you know, when somebody's testifying under oath, whatever the circumstance, we tend to judge form part of our impression of their credibility by their demeanor. And say what you will, because, you know, the history of the FBI, the history of the CIA, all of this, precious Lindsay was out there having conniptions about minutiae that he found floating around in the IG report, doing anything he possibly could to deflect from the fact that, yes, it was appropriate to investigate the Trump campaign because of, I mean, Christ almighty, he started out by reading the Lisa Page, Strzok, emails a damn gen, and sounded all breathless about it because one of them made a reference to the fact that he went to a Walmart in Southern Virginia and you could smell the Trump support. And this, of course, has been breathlessly reported as that elitist saying that the Trump supporters don't smell purdy, when in fact that's merely a linguistic usage that suggests that the Trump support was so broad and so deep that it was discernible by all of one's senses. Jesus. But it's been a bad week for Precious Lindsay anyway. He's been in high dudgeon and full on go get the smelling salts and a mint julep and a Darvon mode for practically the whole week. When the articles of impeachment, as they are proposed, came out, and by the way, thanks to the multimillionaires of the for-profit media for making America think that he's been impeached now, when there's been no goddamn vote. No wonder we have such a damn hard time getting a handle on our own civics. Christ's sakes. I heard that again last night. But there was Precious Lindsay with a microphone in his face. I said microphone. And he's positively beside himself. Yes.
She believes, and the White House believes, that House Democrats
are simply seeking to
overthrow the votes of 63 million Americans, calling the announcement of these two articles baseless and saying it doesn't hurt the president, it hurts the American people. I also want to play for you what we've heard from two allies of the president, one who works for him.
I love that. No, I don't. It drives me crazy. It makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. They're trying to take away the votes of 63 million Americans. If all you did was listen and watch the for-profit multimillionaire media, you'd think that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by something like 63 million to say 62 million. Of course, you and I, we know that Donald Trump lost to Hillary Clinton and that those 63 million votes were the votes of 63 million losers. They were losers. They lost. But sadly, we don't have anybody in the multimillionaire for-profit media with the stones enough to point that out. And in particular, to point out that Donald Trump is only president of the United States by operation of an anachronism from the most vicious period of America's history, the era when we were a slave nation, and the Electoral College assured that the Confederacy would remain ascendant over the free North. See, that's what made the expansion of slavery into new states so goddamn important. Because every time a state entered the Union as a slave state, lo and behold, all of the slaves who couldn't vote, who had no rights, who were forbidden by law from even learning to goddamn read, still got counted as 3/5 the value of a white person for purposes of apportioning representation. You know, isn't that hilarious? Does anybody ever point that out? Do the historians point that out? That, you know, the whole American Revolution gets started up in Boston with a bunch of guys running around hollering, no taxation without representation. And lo and behold, the Constitution itself put in place a doctrine that would provide for apportionment without representation. The only people who even nominally tried to represent the interests of the enslaved human beings in this country were the abolitionists from the North, who were forbidden by internal rules of the House of Representatives from even mentioning the abolition of slavery. And so, oh, they're trying to disenfranchise 63 million Americans. No. One, it's a matter of dealing with a criminal. And it doesn't matter how many people voted for him. Jesus Christ, Richard Nixon won in 1972 by the largest landslide in the history of this country. You know what? George McGovern carried, what, Massachusetts and D.C.? Did he even carry his home state?
But that makes me, that just makes me crazy. But anyway, we'll get to the clip. We will eventually get to the the MSNBC clip of Precious Lindsay having kittens with crocheted tails and a plum conniption.
One who works closely with him. Watch.
This should surprise nobody, okay? That's what this was going to be from the very beginning anyway.
Keep this in mind, is Mulvaney.
16 members of the House Democrat Judiciary Panel had already voted in favor of impeachment before this process started.
I don't think there's much governing space until impeachment's over, but it will be over quickly. The abuse of power is by House Democrats, not the President of the United States. They've abused their power to investigate. They created behind-closed-doors hearings in the Intel Committee. They denied the President.
Yeah, and how do these... And again, where are the reporters on this? Why do they let these sons of bitches lie with no challenge whatsoever? Closed door hearings. Jesus Christ, those are rules that were created by the Republican Party, but nobody ever says that to fucking Lindsay. Nobody ever, because everybody's afraid. Everybody wants, because everybody wants access. Oh no, I ain't talking to you no more. You asked me once about the fact that I was lying to the American people, so I won't talk to you no more because you won't let me just lie. Closed-door hearings. Precious Lindsay would know a little bit about Congress abusing its power. I guess he thinks none of us remember when he was doing the very same thing over a blowjob.
President's counsel right to participate, that denied Republicans the right to call witnesses regarding all things Ukraine. I think the whole thing is a sham.
Yeah, what that means is
it denies the president basic due process. I think it's a threat to the presidency itself. You couldn't get a parking ticket.
They denied him the right to call Hunter Biden and Joe Biden in and turn it into a goddamn circus. And they wouldn't let him call the whistleblower, even though Donald Trump stood and talked right into cameras and microphones that heard him do everything the whistleblower said he's going to do. My goodness, my stars and garters.
Under this, the procedures they're using, and almost all of it's hearsay. So the abuse of power to me is by the Democrats.
Yeah, except, but we went over that, didn't we? It's not hearsay. It's not hearsay at all. It's an admission by a party opponent under Rule of Evidence 801 D2A. It really is that simple. You would not want Lindsey Graham to represent you in so much as a parking ticket. Darlene from Connecticut, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, with a note, ooh, the woman has got her gun sights on Barr again. You should be afraid, very afraid. Pray louder, William. Your God can't hear you. This is where Kamala is brilliant. She may not be presidential material now or maybe even in the future, but in the Senate is where we need her. Yeah, I'll offer a caveat to that, Darlene. She might be mighty damn fine as an Attorney General of the United States of America. Maybe, just maybe. Tracy, meanwhile, we take requests here at the Horn. Subject line, Snagglepuss voice. Please say simpering sycophant again using your best Snagglepuss voice, because when you said simpering sycophant in regards to Precious Lindsay, I thought you were going to say suffering succotash. Oh, please, 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 I'm having a day and I'm in desperate need of a laugh.
whimpering sycophant. Suffering succotash, that simpering sycophant makes me sick. All better now, Tracy? We aims to please here. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out all those memes about overturning an election and impeachment bad for Dems is coming straight from troll bot farms. Of course they are. Because the one thing we know is that, we know it, Precious Lindsay doesn't, he placed it all in the past. Well, yes, the Russians did try to meddle in our election, and we caught them, and we stopped them. Fuck you, Lindsay. We didn't stop them. That's how come Donald Trump is fucking president. Is Steve in New York with a note? Disenfranchisement. What about the 66 million who voted for Hillary? Precisely my point. They were disenfranchised by an anachronism from our slaveholding past. Not just that, but twice in this century, which is only 20 years old. Twice in this century, the people who voted in their majority for the President of the United States have been disenfranchised. You know, there's a promo that runs on MSNBC. It's of Chris Hayes. And he says, hey, here's a crazy idea. Let's run the presidential election like we run all the other elections. The person with the most votes wins. Ooh, that's crazy. And so, you know, Steve in New York recognizes it. I recognize it. The Horn Family Community Congregation recognizes it. Why can't any of the goddamn multimillionaires who get paid to ask questions like that ask that goddamn question? Would Chuck Todd spontaneously combust if he actually asked a hard question? I'm beginning to wonder. Or maybe that's just how Meet the Press is supposed to roll, because I'm so old I remember when Tim Russert wouldn't ask anybody a hard question. You know, unless it was a Democrat. When did he die? I know he spent the entire 2000 election with Dick Cheney in his mouth. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, poetic. If Kamala replaced Barr at AG, would it be some sort of poetic justice, or at least kin to it? It would be karma being the bitch that karma is. Oh, and back to Space Force. Robert in Australia notes, you know, dig this, Robert's in Australia and he knows more about our military. Right. Space Command was formed in 1985. It was formed to coordinate the use of outer space by the United States Armed Forces. So what's Space Force going to do? Jump in their X-Wing fighters and hunt down Emperor Palpatine? Because you just know that's what Trump thinks is going to happen. Meanwhile, if you go to YouTube, Robert lets us know, there's a failed TV pilot called Space Force. Oh, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to take a minute and check the audio out. Starring Fred Willard, Jim Boyd, Ooh.
We're all you've got. I think this was supposed to be funny. Well, at least we know their anthem's already been written. You know, there's the Marine Corps hymn and Halls of Montezuma. There's all that there's that song about the caissons rolling. Well, thank you, Robert. I had no idea that we had a pre-existing Space Force anthem. We're all you've got. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's true. Randy in PA noting he would combust. He's Chuck Todi. Yeah, yeah. David in South Carolina says, Stan says, since Republican maggots say things move too fast, why not just have hearings in the House go till next November? Oh, you're moving. No, because see, that just means that they're just fishing. They're just looking for some. You know, here's the dirty little secret. I think there's a better than even chance that the hearings do go till next November. God knows there's enough material. Wow. Oh, wait. We can't get through a prayer meeting Wednesday without hearing from, wait for it, E.W. Jackson. You might recall E.W.'s been having his Civil War fantasy. Yeah, maybe he took some shit for it. I don't know.
Shows, and I've spoken to some of them because sometimes I'll go to a gun show I'm running, and they'll give a candidate an opportunity to speak to the gun show. You know, people are milling around there, but you know, you get an opportunity.
Yeah, Bub, some parts of this country, you go to the gun show, EW, you are going to be running because they're going to be chasing. Not saying, just saying.
Need to be heard across the gun show. You know, I can't tell you how many times I would go to gun shows and talk to people, talk to Second Amendment supporters who would tell me, oh, I don't vote.
You know, otherwise known as gun maniacs.
I don't vote. Folks, if you care about the First Amendment, if you care about the Second Amendment, if you care about the Constitution of the United States, if you care about your liberty, it's time for us to get off that. You've got to vote with a vengeance now. You got to vote like your life depended on it. You know what? It's coming down to a point where it does.
Yeah, you know, because those liberal commies or the liberal commie progressives are going to come after you, and they're gonna make you take that commie commie universal health care, that commie Medicare for all. And your life's going to depend on, you know what? You better vote because your life depends on it. You stupid maggot bastards. Your only hope of living a halfway decent life as we move into this, into the rest of the bulk of this century is for you to wise the fuck up and realize that you've been had by people like E-Dub. And that they've been selling you a bill of goods, and they will leave you to die in a pool of your own phlegm and shit and piss and blood the minute you're no longer useful to them. Because that's a fact. Vote like your life depends on. Because voting Republican is going to save maggot lives, even though there are statistics that show that throughout Appalachia and the greater Southeast, people are living shorter lives. The average life expectancy is decreasing, not increasing. And the commonality of it all is the prevalence of Republican government in those areas. Son of a bitch. I don't think that's a matter of association isn't causation. I think that's a matter of causation, of if A then B, if P then Q.
So I'll say that. I would shake my head. And of course, I would engage him in a little debate. I said, well, what? You don't vote? I can't be bothered with that. What? I said, do you realize that there are politicians who want to take away your right to be here and your right to buy a weapon here and your right to own your firearms? I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, maybe they think, well, if they ever come to get my weapons, we're going to shoot it out. But it doesn't have to come to that, folks. We can shoot it out at the ballot box with votes. And that's what we better do.
For once, he said something that almost I almost partially agree with. I don't like it. I don't like the eliminationist imagery. But yeah, we can do this at the ballot box. And if we ever get to the point where progressives, liberals, whatever we want to call ourselves, figure out a way to talk to the states that the Democratic Party has been leaving to hang fire, I can't get out of my mind that horrible, horrible book from a lot of years ago called Whistling Past Dixie. The thesis of which was, oh, fuck the South. Don't even bother campaigning there. Don't even bother running candidates there. It ain't worth it. You know what? If we ever find somebody who can talk honestly to the South without having to, without feeling like he's got to kiss their ass or pat them on their pointy little heads, if we ever find somebody who can say, listen, Rubes. Listen, you hicks. You've been had. And one of these days you're going to get a chance to get your revenge, and you can get it at the ballot box. All these fine Christians that sit there and tell you about their values and won't do a goddamn thing to help you be able to survive a treatable illness. One of these days you're going to get a chance to have to take it out on them. Throw them all out. And do you realize what happens? Look, this is the kind of stuff that Dr. King was working on when he was murdered. As long as he was self-marginalizing by working solely in the black community, white America could look at him and say, yeah, he's probably a commie, but, you know, so what? But when he started talking about poor whites and poor blacks coming together with the commonality of their poverty being the defining factor, that is when he died. Look how much damage the South does to the United States year in and year out, and look how much power they have wielded. Imagine if that power was used for good. It may not be on this timeline, but somewhere out there, there's a universe where it is used for good.
Subject line south. David in South Carolina, Stan says, those that are too far gone into cultism may be hard to get to. However, there are people down here between sanity and lunacy, believe it or not. To the fucking rich man, all poor people look the same. Those are the words of one Patterson Hood. He's right. Clarence, also in South Carolina, says, subject line, Graham and Justice. Senator Graham was assigned to the U.S. Air Force Judge Advocate Office. One can only wonder how many military careers were ended by his decisions at a military justice trial. Evidence does not mean anything unless it fits his narrative. Oh, he had to be a horrible, JAG lawyer. Ugh. That or he's just deliberately gaslighting the American people, which is always a possibility, wouldn't you say? Subject line, Space Force! Stephen, New York, saying, brought to you by nuclear energy. Remember our motto, if it glows, it goes. Too sadly damn true. As Randy in PA says, you know, with the deepfakes being refined soon, you won't know who's having sex with boys and who isn't. What a day. Darlene just sent this along. Fresh in from the Washington Post. Senate Republicans look to hold short impeachment trial despite Trump's desire for a raucous show. Several GOP senators on Wednesday said it would be better to limit the trial and quickly vote to dismiss the House charges against Trump than engage in what could become a political circus. That's another way of the Republicans saying, we're afraid to actually let the evidence come out. And I've tried to explain this all along. The Senate gets to make up the rules, and they get to and they get to just call them the rules because they say they're the rules. Every single rule that the Senate trial, assuming that there are articles of impeachment, a bill of impeachment presented to the Senate, every single rule that governs that impeachment trial will require a simple majority. No two-thirds majorities for the rules, that's just to convict. It can be 49 to 48 or 51 to 49. Anything. And so the Post reporting, the report by Sungmin Kim and Paul Kane, Senate Majority Whip John Thune of South Dakota said, I would say I don't think the appetite is real high for turning this into a prolonged spectacle. Members want to deal with the arguments, hear the case, and hopefully reach a conclusion. Because remember, Nitwit Nero is demanding that there be a circus put on and that Adam Schiff be compelled to testify and that the whistleblower be called. And that we finally get to the bottom of this whole thing of this whole goddamn conundrum, this mystery of who killed Cock Robin. And it's said to be a structure in which there is time for the time for the House impeachment managers and Trump's lawyers both to make their arguments, and then they vote to whether to dismiss the charges altogether. And apparently this is what meets with Moscow Mitch's approval. Ain't gonna be no trial. And the Washington Post article points out that, yes, yes, Chlamydia Claudius wants Adam Schiff to testify, wants Nancy Pelosi to testify, wants Joe Biden to testify, wants Hunter to, Biden to testify, wants the whistleblower. You know who he doesn't want to testify? Rudy Giuliani, Levin Igor, Christopher Steele. Sitting down at a GOP luncheon this week, Moscow Mitch told the assembled faithful that calling witnesses would be mutually assured destruction. One source telling the Post that McConnell, trying to count votes, doesn't think, he doesn't know, he isn't sure if there are enough votes to just call the witnesses Trump wants. Because every one of those witnesses is going to require 51, a simple majority vote. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, Mike Pencilneck Geek and Mick Mulvaney are sticking their hand in the air and promising to tell the truth, even though they'll be violating their oath the minute they say, "I do." Yeah. Eric Euland is the White House Director of Legislative Affairs, following another luncheon with maggots in the Congress. He said, Eric Euland said, "In this instance, we believe very strongly, given the fatally flawed process and the House, that if they were to elect against our better advice and send over impeachment to the Senate, that we need witnesses as part of our trial and a full defense of the president on the fact." He wants to... Oh, Jesus Christ. Comb over Caligula wants to see the Republican members of the Senate in the United States do their bow down and kiss the brown and smelly part. And Trump, meanwhile, according to David Perdue of Georgia, the senator said, he wants to have his opportunity for the first time to present his defense, whatever it takes to do that. If they halt to call witnesses or whatever, I'd say do it. But I don't think you have to call witnesses to present the case. Yeah, here's the problem. The goddamned idiot could have sent his lawyers to the House. Hell, he could have marched in and testified and called every Democrat on that panel a no good lying son of a sea cook. And he may want to present his case, but he damn sure doesn't want to testify in his own right. Because at that point in time, even the Republicans might not appreciate being lied to their faces in their own house. No. I haven't mentioned in a few days, but the fact remains. However weird yesterday was, today has been weirder. And no matter how weird today has been, tomorrow is garandamn double-teed to be weirder still. And the sad thing is what I mentioned last night.
The sad thing is the Mayella Yule factor. All the mammon and all the Miss Mayella, and it don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. It don't come to nothing. I have been a supporter of impeachment, but I also live in a reality-based world. And it don't come to nothing is about the best that the Democrats can hope for. There is a risk it will come to something, and the something it will come to is going to be essentially the end. No, no, not the end, but the ruination. No, let's put it this way. The end of any hopes of removing Donald Trump from the presidency. How ironic. An attempt to remove Donald Trump from the presidency winds up being the thing that makes him remain president for another 4 fucking years. How's that for nightmare material? Yeah, I thought so. You know, I'm just the messenger. I got a note here from Todd for Clarence. Please tell Clarence I had a dream about an apple pie and a butterscotch crimpet from Tasty Cake on Allegheny Avenue. Yeah, you get a couple of Philly guys together. Next thing you know, they're gonna be talking about Tasty Cakes. Randy in PA says, somebody explain to me how oaths apply to us little people but aren't legally binding on the upper echelons. Hey. Well, it's like something that F. Scott Fitzgerald said back in the 20s, or is said to have said. The rich are very different from you and me. There's a separate set of rules. Remember when John Edwards, back before he flushed his own political career right down the toilet, was running around the country talking about two Americas? Damn, it seems a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Yeah. Reminder coming in from Sparky. Oh, goody. A nighttime hearing. It has begun. And so it has. So it has. A nighttime hearing on impeachment. Why, looky there. History is getting made. Oh, and of course, who's talking? Why, it's Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins.
When we understand this, we look forward. Tonight it has started again. We talk about tearing down of national institutions and we start talking about putting our security at risk when tonight, even in the chairman's opening statement, we start with one of the most amazing takedowns I have ever seen. When they can't make their argument that the president pressured Mr. Zelensky, they then attack Mr. Zelensky and then say that he was pressured when Mr. Zelensky on numerous occasions, he said, I have not been pressured. I'm not being used. The call was fine. I'm not being pressured to do anything. Then here's what the majority is saying. The majority is saying Mr. Zelensky is a liar. And we in this body, the Democrats, are tearing down a world leader in the eyes of those that don't like him in his own country and Russia, who is attacking him. Think about that one for just a second. Let that sink in. When we can't make our case, we tear down, not only try to tear down the leader of the free world, President Trump, we're tearing down the newly elected leader of the Ukraine. This is amazing to me. You can't make your case against the president because nothing happened. And when President Zelensky confirms nothing happened, we start tearing him down. I never thought we'd cross outside of the ocean to try and basically impugn the integrity of a world leader like we have been for the last two hearings. We have also found other things that we have found in our very minimal hearings here in this body. Is we have seen that other committees have used political vendettas against ranking members and others, including members of the press who are sitting here tonight, by putting phone records in, naming names. I mean, you talk about getting even. We put names, Mr. Nunez, Mr. Solomon, others, on those four numbers that we looked at. And nobody would own up to it. Mr. Goldman, Mr. Schiff, of course, wasn't here, but even Mr. Goldman wouldn't own up to who said to do that when they could have simply put in the record, Congressman 1, Congressman 2, Reporter 1. No, they got what they wanted. They got their drive-by. They got their political smear. That's the record being built in Judiciary Committee.
Hold the fuck on. What makes Devin Nunez the queen of the May where he can't be where his name can't be used? Now this is a markup hearing. In congressional language, this is a hearing that you have when you've got a piece of proposed legislation and you put it before the committee to make sure that it meets with the committee's approval. You mark it up. Change that A to an N, God damn it. Can nobody around here type English? That sort of thing. But Doug Mouthful, and I love the fact, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. I love the fact that somebody pointed out the other day that this guy's a preacher. If you ever wanted to know what's wrong with the clergy, bang, this is it. And by the way, shouldn't we maybe have a law that nobody in the clergy can be a member of the government? Way, way, way back when they finally got free of their own theocracy, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts made that a law toot sweet. Because if you want to have clergy in the government, why not just, you know where you're going to wind up. Mullahs. And I don't mean like Islam or anything like that. What I mean is you're gonna wind up with the government being run according to religious principles and religious divines being the people running the government. Oh my God, I'm just watching the video here. I think he's gonna have a baby. Breathe, Dougie, breathe.
Argument for it. They don't have the who knew it and when they knew it. All they have is, well, here, members, we're going to give you abuse of power. You go home, pick something you don't like about the president. There's your abuse of power. This is as much about political expediency as it is anything else, and that should never be in articles of impeachment. And
even with a mouthful of collards, it's unusual for Southerners to talk that fast. And generally when they do, it's because they lying.
The only obstruction we've seen here is obstruction from Chairman Schiff of this investigation. He did not turn over the documents as he was supposed to. We get those last Saturday in a massive document up after we've already had a hearing, after we had another getting ready for another hearing in which we were supposed to lay out the report. And tonight, he sends a letter of classified information that has been classified over to us tonight.
Wait, did he just say he sends a letter of classified information that's been classified? Isn't that from the Department of Redundancy Department?
Actually trying to find the truth. That's the only obstruction here. So why don't we just have that as an obstruction charge, but it would be against Adam Schiff and the majority, not the president. Two articles like that? Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress.
Jesus, sounds like Dougie's going to be floss. Dougie flosses with orange pubes too. And Jesus, there went dinner.
The abuse of power, as Professor Turley said. But before I finish, I cannot stop without this.
Before I finish, I cannot stop.
This guy's a real fucking Shakespeare.
As president. In fact, if anything, they see the majority for what they are. On a 3-year vendetta to get someone that they couldn't beat, and they're desperate to do it before he beats them again next year. Here's the real damage. It's the institutional...
Except he never won.
It's the institutional damage to getting information even after hearing started, for not having the rules followed, for having this committee, as the chairman warned us about 20 years ago when he said this great committee, the Judiciary Committee, should never accept a report from someone else without verifying it and having hearings to make sure it was there. Unless, as the chairman said, we become a rubber stamp. I don't know about you, but I'm not a rubber stamp, and I don't like what I have been forced to do. Sit here, be lectured to by law professors and a staff that does not wear a pen telling us what's relevant or not. We're a rubber stamp of the worst kind because we didn't even try to make...
Oddly enough, he doesn't like being lectured to, but being a preacher, he doesn't mind. He's a hypocrite, so he doesn't mind doing that to other people, even though he probably has an IQ somewhere around that of, I don't know, a banana slug.
Just since I was an intern up here, being destroyed day after day. If the minority has no rights, and one day this majority will be back in the minority, and they will be crying and screaming for minority rights to be upheld, and I'll just point back to 2019 and say, this is the year.
Fucker, you won't be there then.
Justify the most basic obligations of this committee have been overrun. So tonight, we've experienced, we're in December. After a year of trashing this institution, a year of trying to trash this administration and this president, we come up with abuse of power and can't define it. We come up with a...
That fucker says that that fucker has the nerve to say that that the Democrats are trashing the institution when he sat there in the majority and watched children. Now, it's the Judiciary Committee. Remember, he sat there at the head of that committee and watched children be put in concentration camps and said fucking nothing. Well, it's another one of those atheist moments, I guess, because that came out of his mouth, and still, no lightning bolt, no pssst, no greasy spot where Doug Mouthful of Collins used to be.
End of the day, my heart breaks for a committee that has trashed this institution, and this is where we are now. With that, I yield back.
Thank God.
The gentleman yields back. We will now proceed with 5-minute opening statements from other members of the committee. I now recognize the gentlelady from California, Ms. Lofgren, for 5 minutes.
This is a serious moment for our country. I've worked on presidential impeachments as part of this committee twice before, and a third time brings me no joy. Members of Congress all take an oath to uphold the Constitution. When the president violates the constitutional order, we have an obligation to live up to our oath of office to deal with that. Last week, this committee got direct evidence about the president's actions to threaten our national security, undermine the integrity of the next election, and his violation of his oath. As a staff member to my predecessor, Congressman Don Edwards, I watched his opening in the Nixon impeachment, and it rings true today. He said, "The value and beauty of our Constitution and representative government, if it's going to work, requires that we all respect and obey the Constitution. It's the compact we have with each other. Put simply, no one is above the law, and the President of the United States must follow the Constitution." President Trump has not only abused his power for the upcoming election, he used a foreign power to do it. George Washington would likely be astonished since he warned against the insidious wiles of foreign influence. One of my most vivid memories of the 1974 impeachment was Representative Chuck Wiggins, one of the most vigorous defenders of President Nixon, when he realized that Nixon had lied to him. I've been waiting for Republican members here to have their Chuck Wiggins moment. But it seems like we live in an alternate reality where, as one columnist recently said, if it swims and quacks like a duck, it's a piano. It's understandable that Republicans feel loyalty to the leader of their party. But loyalty to our country and our Constitution must be greater. I've reviewed what Republican committee members said during the Nixon impeachment. Representative Larry Hogan said, "It's not easy for me to align myself against the president to whom I gave my enthusiastic support, but I cannot in good conscience turn away from the evidence." Caldwell Butler, another pro-Nixon Republican, said the misuse of power is the very essence of tyranny, and that Nixon's lack of remorse for his misconduct and concern for his constitutional responsibility were a factor in his supporting impeachment. That is a problem today as well. President Trump continues his misconduct. He's not contrite. He poses an ongoing threat. Representative Butler said this about the Republicans. It is we, not the Democrats, who must demonstrate that we are capable of enforcing the high standard.
I'm going to interrupt just for a moment because I got a couple of messages in. David in South Carolina, Stan, noting Donald Trump admitted it publicly. Yeah, but if a Republican didn't see it or hear it or doesn't acknowledge the reality of it, it didn't happen. And Darlene in Connecticut, Doug Collins is Faulkner's as I lay dying epitomized. He's all a spewing stream of consciousness. He's fucking crazy. Signed, Darl. One of the chapters in As I Lay Dying that I remember as its first letters of my name. I love the literary references, I do. Meanwhile, Kyle in Kentucky stands this way. Did he really say the guy running the investigation's obstructing it? Oh, my God, this guy's literally having a full-on meltdown on the committee floor. I know, and it's going to be like that. What did I tell you? It was just mad. It was minutes, and then I said, boom. Today weird, tomorrow weirder, and then, bang, confirmation. Kyle says, you notice how one party screams and pisses and moans about the whole situation while the other party calmly and soberly presents the facts of what happened? You tell me which group you'd find to be more credible if you didn't have any preconceived biases. Sure. And also, you tell me which party you would trust if the house was on fire and you needed to form a bucket brigade. You're going to count on Doug Mouthful of Collards, Collins? Yeah, I don't think so. I do not think so. Clarence, meanwhile, says, tell Todd Butterscotch is my favorite crimpet. I was in Philly 2 weeks ago. I went straight to a Wawa and bought my obligatory crimpet and French apple pie. The icing is the clincher. I grew up on tasty cake pastries. Oh, I know. And they're good stuff, too. Make no mistake. Well, yeah, I mean, they got rid of it eventually. Randy and PA pointing out in the 1960s, Massachusetts had Father Drinan, a Catholic priest, as a U.S. representative. I know, but back in the early days when they first got rid of their theocracy, they said, sorry, no more. No more clerics in the government. Done had enough. Because it's toxic stuff is what it is. All right, back we go. Oh, goody, it's Jim Sensenbrenner. This ought to be enough stupid to pull 15 or 20 IQ points off of all of us. I ought to be ashamed of myself.
From office. There's no allegation of bribery in these articles. There's no allegation of extortion. They have defined for themselves what a high crime and misdemeanor will be. This bar is...
Which every Congress does. Really? Things have been going so well. Let's try this again. Let's check in with Tracy instead. Hey, Tracy.
Checking with me instead of what?
Instead of listening to Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin.
Oh, God, no, please, God, Jesus. Like I said, you know how you had these days where there's something wrong, but you don't know what it is, and you're just fighting just to get to the end of the day?
Yeah, you said you were having a day earlier.
Yeah, and I'm just feeling discombobulated. I don't know what it is. But when I was listening to E.W. Jackson, that motherfucker, you know, I was calling him an Uncle Tom, but you know what? No. He's worse than an Uncle Tom. He's that. Did you see the Django, whatever that movie was?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
the character that Samuel Jackson played—that's E.W. Jackson. I don't understand. You know, like you said, he does realize he's black, right?
A little bit. But he really thinks of him. He thinks of himself as acceptably black. He's one of the good ones. He's what the maggots refer to as one of the good ones.
One of the good ones. But again, brother, you're still black. If you run up on the wrong white person, especially at one of these gun shows, first of all, I would love to see E.W. Jackson up at a gun show, running up on some white folks and talking about their, you know, and imploring them and yelling at them about voting. I can't see that even happening. I cannot see. Because even the fact that he is a self-loathing asshole, I think he does have. He's talking all this trash during his show or his podcast or whatever. I can't imagine him getting in some white man's face at a gun show, yelling at him about not voting. Can you see that, Paul? Because I know he got some sense, and like you said, like he's doing what he does because the check is clearing.
Well, you just got a sympathetic note from Darlene in Connecticut. She says, "You're not alone, Tracy. Totally feeling off today as well, and can't pinpoint what's wrong. Can't get anything done at work.
Say that one more time.
Can't get anything done at work.
No, I didn't really work. I didn't work out today. I don't know. I mean, my ass. I'm tired. I'm lethargic. It's just." I hope I'm not getting sick, but it's not that I'm sick. I don't even feel sick or anything. I'm just worn the fuck out. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday I had to go to Newberry Park for a field trip. Now, typically, even in traffic.
What makes me think that that was not fun?
Oh my God. Coming back to the valley. Now, typically, it should have taken me about 40 minutes. It took me an hour and a half. A fucking hour and a half. I don't know what was happening on a one-on-one. I don't know if there was an accident. By the time I got home, I was beside myself. It's just for the last few days, I'm just like... I don't feel like being bothered. It's not like I'm not like hanging on by a thread or anything like that. It's not like it was before, but this like Darlene, there's a Darlene as well.
Yeah,
we were like, it was just I don't know. I'm just feeling I don't know. But thank you for doing Snacklepuss.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Happy to help.
You know, because I looked him up on after I sent the email. Like I Googled him, and I forgot that he used to do Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Simper. That's Snagglepuss. I was thinking more like Sylvester. No, that would be a.
No, the Snagglepuss.
Simpering sycophant.
Yeah, simpering sycophant.
There we go.
Oh my God. because when you said suffering sycophants, I heard suffering succotash.
Well, you know, there's apparently some value to my attempts to make the program a little bit lyrical, perhaps a little bit poetic from time to time.
Well, we need it. I mean, because, you know, when you hear it, because you're playing us the bullshit, you know, when you do the audio of Precious Lindsay, motherfucker, if you back into my car, I'm going to kick, I'm sorry. Sorry. But, you know, when you
Agent Fred, she wasn't talking about Lindsay. No, she was talking about another Angelino. Take it easy, Agent Fred.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, this motherfucker's about to back into my car. But it's like when you play the shit that Lindsey Graham is spouting, and it's like, what? Because wasn't he back in, when was the election starting, 2015? Wasn't he back in 2015 and early parts of 2016? Saying that Donald Trump was basically a piece of shit.
He wouldn't call Donald Trump a white man.
Right. He was like, you know, he's this and that, he's this and that, you know. And now, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't even ever have to ever have to use toilet paper again because he has Lindsey Graham there to suck his ass.
You ruined dinner, not me.
Vince dinner, and which time zone? What time? Because it's only 4:45 here, so we're okay.
You just took dinner out in the mountain time zone.
I'm sorry, y'all. So that's Lady. That's where Lady B is.
Yeah,
you just
did Lady B's dinner.
Yes, my bad. I just don't know. I've been trying to look on the sunny, you know, look on the sunny side of the street and all that other bullshit. But I can't. And it's directly, you know, because I haven't really, the last few days, I have not really worked out. So my mood is because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And because it's the reason why I haven't been to the gym is because Jan was out of town. And our dog, who is really a diva, I leave early in the morning to go to the gym, but it's still dark. And, you know, we leave the back door open, the doggy door. And she doesn't like to go out at it when it's dark, blah blah blah. So I would stay home until it was, you know, and it was until, you know, it was light so she can go out. It was just I need to go back to the gym. And fortunately, Jana should be home by the time I get to the house because she just landed about an hour ago in Burbank, so she's home. But
She's
back.
That's mean to me. I don't mean anything by it.
Yeah, well, I do. But just kidding. I think we all, anybody with any common decency, I think what's happening is that we need a respite.
That's why we carry on like we do here. You gotta have a little break.
But unfortunately, I think we need it, you know, we need longer than a 3 hour. I mean, we have you for three hours a day, 5 days a week. But even with you, because, you know, you cut through the bullshit and, you know, you tell it like it is. But, you know, we need something to lift our spirits because let's face it, most of the stuff that we talk about on the show, it's not very uplifting unless we do food porn or something like that. So I need something that I don't start baking chocolate cakes again and eating the whole cake. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want you to do that, but I'm going to tell you that sounds pretty awesome about now. So yeah.
Doesn't it? And I'm talking, I'm not talking box, the cake mix from the box, dude.
No, I'm talking about sifting the cake flour and sifting cake the cocoa flour into the cake flour.
Yes.
And that homemade chocolate frosting with the butter and the powdered sugar and the cocoa and the vanilla.
When I make a chocolate cake, I don't use chocolate frosting. I make a vanilla buttercream frosting.
Well, to each his own.
And I can only do so much chocolate.
I'm a chocolate purist.
And I know you are.
My favorite all-time cake was what my mother used to make for me on my birthday every year. She would make me a from-scratch, homemade apple cake and homemade caramel icing on it.
Ooh,
I got a caramel apple cake once a year for my birthday.
Caramel apple cake. Like I'm whispering, like, that should be revealed.
My big sister's favorite was orange chiffon, and my favorite was caramel apple.
Well, because I'm a summer baby.
Oh, stop it.
You know, I don't get mad at me, Dad.
I know. Hate to play, not to play, right?
I had nothing to do. I had the only thing that I had anything to do with was when I came out. Because I was a
You have no idea what a horror it was when I finally realized, well up into my adulthood, I just did the math and realized that I was a result of birthday sex. It was my mother's birthday, and we'll just leave it at that.
Wow. Well, like I said, I was the result of my father lying and saying that he had the mumps, so he was sterile, so that's why my mom couldn't get pregnant.
But apparently, if you have sex in March, you wind up with baby in January.
When in March was your mom's birthday?
March 31st.
Oh, wow. She was... What does that make her? March 31st? Is that Taurus? No, that's not Taurus.
I'm not sure.
Not Pisces. Because Pisces... No. Aries. Wow. Man. Birthday sex. Yeek.
Almost has to be.
So how's everything else going? How's Serg?
He's getting along. I mean, he's trying to do everything that he needs to do to get better, and you know, there's a lot of hills to climb with that.
How's the jam holding up?
I've got mine. I ain't sharing. I told him, when you're done with yours, son, you're out.
Hasn't the boy suffered enough?
Well, I do imagine I'll relent.
Oh, you will. You know you will. But you could talk a good game. I give you that. I will give you that. This is, like I said, just the last few days. As much as I probably hate to admit it, I probably just think that what was happening is, as much as she tap dances on my nerves with Spike Hill, I did miss my wife.
Of course you did.
I'm not going to tell her that.
And hey, you know, we're coming up on another 5 hour stint without a smoke.
Get the fuck. 5 hours, good for you.
Now, and I got to tell you, I got an email, and I didn't. I got an internet.
I got an email from Ron in Raleigh, and I didn't get to share it last night. But he said, just stop with the goddamned incrementalism and quit. It'll be sheer hell for 7 days, and then you'll feel so much better. And I got a lovely offer from Lee in New York as an incentive for 30 smoke-free days. And I'll take him up on it when I get to where I can get to. But and, you know, I admire people who can just put it, say, fuck it, and put it down and have done with it. But I'm not that guy. I've got to, you know, everybody's got to, you know, what's that old religious saying? Everybody got to find their own way to heaven, and everybody's got to walk.
Right. Everybody has their own way of doing things. Like me and my weight loss, no matter how much, I mean, it took me how many years to finally come to the, you know, realization that, A, I couldn't do it on my own, and B, I had to do something, and it was my decision.
In my case, if I can go 3 hours in the morning and 5 hours in the evening, and if I can do something that is wildly different from how I've done this program for the last 16 years, then that's what it's going to take to get me there. And you know what? I may fail, but I'm not going to beat myself up if I do. And right now I am simply trying to be iron-willed about not letting myself have a cigarette during the program.
See, and you said something very important. When you mess up, you're not going to beat yourself up. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people, and I'm definitely including myself when I say a lot of people, we are not kind to ourselves when we mess up. Or when we do good things, even though, you know, it may seem small to other people, it's still, counted as, it is huge what you're doing. It's the fact that you have made a promise to yourself not to smoke during the program is ginormous. Because you've been doing the program for 16 years, and this is something that you have been doing for, you know, pretty much 5 days a week for 16 years. And all those days sitting in that, you know, in your studio and smoking, that's part of what you do. That's who you are. That is something that is, you know, inherently Bob. So when you stop and make a conscious effort to stop doing something, that is, and there's no other way to say it. It's fucking killing. It can fucking kill you. Or, you know, then you're like, hey, I did this. And you don't minimize.
Minimize.
Down on what you don't look down on the, because that's, like I said, I think I said this the other day. With my therapist, when I said, you know, I've lost this, but I have to do this, or I, you know, blah, 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 I always cut myself the least amount of slack. And I got to stop doing that. And that's what we all have to stop doing, because we have to, you know,
you know what? This cherry Tootsie Pop is achieving mythic status. Because this is the third program where it's sat here, and so far it is unlicked. It's unwrapped, but it is a perfectly pristine Tootsie Pop.
See? Huge. You know, you're not going all Telly Savalas on a Tootsie Pop.
And this is going to sound so weird. And maybe this is just too much of my personal life, but I've been working toward this. For a variety of reasons, I took out my anxieties since about, well, I guess probably since I was maybe 3-4 years old when I figured out I had fingernails. Now, I never bit them. Never chewed them.
What did you do?
Picked them. Tore at them.
Ah, you have, okay. I see.
And
but doesn't that wear them down as well, and just make them into?
Well, no, I mean other people clip. I would just, I just tear them off. I don't mean all the way down to the quick. I mean, but I never had them. I never had any, length or anything to them. So a few months ago, I looked at Agnes and I said, because we've been talking about this, and I realized, oh, Bob, just quit. God damn it. No, I'm trying to engage in real behavior modification. So I looked at Agnes and I said, you know what? I have been picking my nails for 53 years of the 56 I'm on this planet.
Wow.
I said, I'm going to stop picking my nails. Because it's just something you kind of do absently. You sit there and you fiddle with them. And I did that. I broke a 56-year-old habit.
Again, 56 years. Or was it 53? Wait, how old are you?
Well, I mean, I'm 56, so I broke a 53-year-old habit.
53-year-old habit. That is so huge. That is monumental. Because again, just the fact that I get up every morning. Now I got to get back into my groove of getting up. I mean, I've been up in the mornings and I've been kind of working out. But it's just once you get into something of, like you said, once you break a bad habit, and my bad habit was going to Carl's Jr. pretty much every day. And ordering the chocolate cake and the milk. I was doing that almost every fucking day, Bob. And I because either it was, comfort food, stress, depression, fuck it, I just want chocolate cake, whatever the case may be. But, when we start doing stuff that'll make ourselves better, oh my God!
Well, and part of the setup to doing that was to say, okay, I broke that habit. Now let's break another one.
Let's break another one. Like when I broke the habit of falling asleep on the couch and sleeping on the couch, I broke that habit, and then I broke the habit of sleeping with the TV on. That was another habit. So. This is learned behavior. And it takes a lot to unlearn shit. But you did one habit, so now you got to do another one. And then start adding good stuff onto it, Walking outside.
And, some of it was trying to example set.
Definitely.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Leading by example. Hey, it's almost time for you to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is so weird. Now, what's so funny, I don't know if you talked about this at the beginning of the show this evening, or this afternoon, rather, this afternoon for me, this evening for you, when you were saying, it was so funny, yesterday when I was listening to the beginning of the show, and this is like stat, because I think as sometimes we share the same brain. And right before your show came on yesterday, I was thinking, I like this time because if he keeps it at this time and goes from 2 to 5 my time, if he ever has to do a show for Malloy, he doesn't have to truncate the show. And then I turn on your show yesterday, and what do you say?
Exactly that.
Exactly that. And I'm like, this is some, this thing, the fuck out of my head, old white man. Come on now. I got to know. Going on in my head. I don't need a middle-aged white man thoughts in my head that does not.
Yeah, stop with the white the Jedi mind trick.
You're getting
a little affirmation from Darlene. She says, "Don't beat up on yourself. Allow yourself this off day. You've been busting your ass working out, exercising nonstop. You're a gladiatoress." And even they need a day off with no regrets.
Yeah, no,
Mary Bell says, feeling less good today? Full moon.
Is that, okay.
And this coming in from Randy, and Randy knows of whence he speaks. For God's sake, take some extra vitamin D3 and fish oil. It's dingy dark at 3:30 in the afternoon. and there's, going back to Doug, mouthful of collards, Collins a few minutes ago, David in South Carolina, Stan said, yeah, he's tripping. He needs no hallucinogens.
No. These people are fucking delusional. And if it wasn't, I have to laugh at these motherfuckers because when they start talking and expounding on how he's being railroaded and maligned and blah, blah, and, you know, rush to judgment. My most favorite one is when they say that the people voted for him. And I'm like, he did not win. No, I wish somebody would say, whenever they say the people spoke and that's who they wanted, this is who they wanted for president, I just wish every time one of those stupid bastard fascist motherfuckers would say, somebody would say to them, but he lost the election. He lost by 3 motherfucking million votes.
And then dare them to bring up the Electoral College and say, hey, glad to see you're a supporter of slavery, motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
I just grow some fucking balls. For God's fucking sakes. Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, by the way, you were talking about the time change and stuff. Getting some positive reinforcement from Rusty. Rusty says, my wife will be home in 15 minutes as usual. I will never miss the last hour of the program again.
See, that's the same thing. That's exactly what, because, you know, I usually get home anywhere between 4 and 5 o'clock, depending on traffic. And I can, you know, if I'm home by 5, it's no big deal. Again, I can now listen to the show all uninterrupted for the whole 3 hours. So for very selfish reasons, all that about Malloy and blah, 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 it's about me right now.
That's okay. It can be about you. And you know what? I will send this to you because it's about you. Ron and Raleigh has sent to me, and you started this by talking about chocolate cake. The Duke's mayonnaise chocolate cake recipe, and I've had it, and it is fucking fantastic.
Well, I don't have any Duke's mayonnaise, so I can't make it.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is delightful. Okay. You know, we gotta have a week on me. So I, this week, and it was awesome. And I just got a note from our anonymous friend who said, part of the reason I gave the horn a have a week on me is so you wouldn't have to cipher while you were jonesing.
Awesome. Well, okay, so here's the deal. If somebody, because they can get my information from you, or you get, you know, however you guys want to do it, if somebody does send me this magical Duke's fucking mayonnaise, I will make the Duke's mayonnaise chocolate cake.
Okay, you're on the clock for the Duke's Mayonnaise Chocolate Cake Challenge, but you're going to have to get hold of some Duke's mayonnaise.
Right. Well, see, I'm not doing it. I said, somebody has to get it to me. I'm not looking for the shit.
Oh, no. I got it.
I am not. I will not. Whenever mayonnaise is bought in my house, it is not bought by me. It just winds up in my house. So, anybody that, if you guys, all y'all so hell-bent about this magical mystery fucking mayonnaise, and it's so goddamn wonderful. So, on that note, I will make a Duke's mayonnaise chocolate cake if somebody sends me said mayonnaise.
You know what? If it fits, it ships. I will go to work on that.
If it fits, it ships. So priority mail, baby, and I will get it.
Because it just so happens. I think I'm as far north as Duke's mayonnaise reaches.
Okay.
And my wiggling pig carries Duke's mayonnaise.
Okay. Well, see, then, and you also the bacon that you were talking about, because then I will use the Duke's mayonnaise for Janet when I make a BLT. See, it'll be a twofer. It'll be a twofer.
Oh, and you wait. You can get you some.
Or I can make
you
can get,
you
I can
get make you. You hold on, no. Hold on. This is all coming together. I love it when a plan comes together. You can get the Benton's bacon. I'll send you the Duke's mayonnaise. You go to Trader Joe's and get the ass kicking sourdough. Oh,
right.
Tracy, I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it the other, or maybe not. I saw a KitchenAid. Did I mention this? I saw a KitchenAid toaster.
No.
And it's got two slots. It'll hold four slices, but the slot is long enough that you can put one of those really wide-ass pieces of sourdough, the whole thing in it, and not have to cut it or trim it.
Cut it. Oh, no. Wait, what was the name of that sourdough bread you were telling me about that was at the store that you said you could, that almost as good as...
That was at Kroger's, and I can't remember what it is now.
Was it rustic?
It was a rustic sourdough, but it was.
I bought some. I got some. They had it at Smart. I was like, why does this sound familiar? I wonder if this was the rustic that I couldn't remember if that was the sourdough bread you were talking about.
Because
I was at Smart and Final, and they had it. They sold sourdough bread. And
fairly small loaf.
Yes, like a half a loaf.
Yeah. That's and it's chewy.
Chewy and yummy, and I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the magic.
I didn't butter it on both sides. You know, that's my thing. Butter the sourdough bread on both sides and grill it. I only buttered it on one side, and I didn't even use. I didn't. I used.
Well, that's very very English of you. Oh, and by the way, we had a comment from only toasting it on one side. Sting sings an Englishman in New York. I like my toast done on one side. But we had a note from Todd. Bob Kincaid, the color commentator for Deathmatch 2019, a.k.a. the end of our democracy. Yeah.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. Hey, Tracy, I'm overtime. I got to get out of here.
You are way over. So anyway, okay, so the challenge is on. Anybody gets me some Duke's mayonnaise, because I got the Dutch cocoa, I got the vanilla sugar. I got this because I'm making a cake for a party I'm going to on Saturday. So I got.
I don't think we can get you the Dukes that quick.
No. It's okay if you don't.
It's going to have to cross the country.
I'm just saying. It's going. Well, if you mail it UPS, USPS, I'll get it at least in 2 to 3 days.
Yeah. Three days. That's it. All right, Tracy. You have a good night, dear.
You too, my love. Talk to you soon.
All right. Later. Bye. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from L.A., Southern California. Time for me to knock off. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening in. Thank you for sharing your precious, finite time, engaging in the conversation. Thank you, one and all, for your kind subscriptions and your a la carte contributions that keep this program on the air. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.